Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 331, as this week we bring you the conclusion of NWA Starrcade 1989. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Welcome to 2021. Normally, I am joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim is still in rehab, beginning the return to his home, to his life. And we are hoping that he is out of there in just 2 or 3 weeks. We really need Jim back, and we thank you for everything that you've done in terms of everybody who's talked to him on social media, everybody who's donated to the GoFundMe for Jim, much appreciated. Filling in for Jim this week is the number one Wayback Playback fan, and one of the members of our Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. On the Black Scorpion tier, please welcome Michael Saget of the great state of Pennsylvania. Hello, Michael.
Pat, finally, it took 2 years of emailing you weekly to finally get on the show, but I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yes, bribes of chocolate are appreciated, by the way, in case any of you were listening.
Yes.
And were wondering how to do this. Okay, Michael, so are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and see who ends up on the Iron Throne?
I've been waiting all day. I am ready.
All right, so let's do a short bit of business. We had some good fortune this week. We have charted in the great country of Ireland. We somehow made it all the way up to the number 10, the 10th most listened to wrestling podcast in Ireland this week. Thank you very much for everybody who listens around the world. We're just pleased that you enjoy our little show. And, and of course, patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I want to say the GoFundMe for Jim Valley is at GoFundMe.com. And then it's Jim-Valley-Fundraiser. And actually just type in Jim Valley Fundraiser into Google or any search engine, and you will get there. And we are all very grateful of you doing that. All right. So when we left off, we're about to get to the third hour of the show. And as many of you know, the third hour of the show means we go over the show reviews. Not to spoil too much, but let's see here. The worst match of the show, okay, Dave Meltzer gave Sting and Rick gave the highest rating on the show to one of the matches we're going to see, Sting versus Ric Flair or Ric Flair versus Sting, and the lowest rating on the show to one of the matches we're going to see, which will be the Samoans versus the Road Warriors. Wade Keller of the Pro Wrestling Torch gave the show 6 out of 10. The worst match of the show, according to Wade, was Doom versus Samoans, which got a whopping D+. And yeah, they were doing letter grades back then. And we're about to see an A- match between Ric Flair and Sting. Does that sound about right, Michael? I know it's been a while since you've seen this show.
I would have guessed Sting and Ric Flair would have been the best. I'm surprised the 2-minute extravaganza of Ric Flair and Muda didn't score lower. So I can't wait to see what these ones are coming up.
Yeah, the Road Warriors and the Samoans. And so basically there are three teams fighting for the Iron Man spot and three teams fighting for the Iron Team championships. And we are at 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 43 seconds. As always, you can go back and check out episodes 329 and 330 to see how the first 2 hours went for those of you who like to do it all at once. It's another commercial break, and I'd like to talk about our sponsor, Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine, located at kenandtech.com, K-E-N-A-N-D-T-E-K.com. Be sure to check them out. Also, if you have not participated in the fundraiser for Jim Valley set up by Josh Nason of Wrestling Observer website and Figure Four Online, go to GoFundMe.com/F/Jim-Valley-Fundraiser. As of today, $67,514 raised. Still more to go because Jim has been out of action for a long, long time. So whatever you can afford to give, go ahead and do that there. And also, yes, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. For as low as $4.50 a month, you can get all of our new episodes early and without commercials. And you can get bonus matches that we do, bonus episodes, extra stuff that we've pulled out from the past. There's various tiers that you can go to on that. But for $4.50 a month, you can get all of our past episodes. You can get every one of our new episodes in advance and commercial free. And that's what you want. And that will cover all 331 episodes. It's a great deal, and no one else can give it to you. Thanks to our friends at Pro Wrestling Torch for helping us out with this. It is, of course, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and I think once Jim gets back, our patron will only get better. And I think we're ready. 145-43, I have a long shot of the ring with Gary Capetta in there doing ring introductions. Michael?
I am ready.
Okay, we are all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And there we are. Yes, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, the big kahuna Oliver Humperdinck, is bringing the new Wild Samoans out to the ring. There they are.
Yay. I got to say, when I watched this with listened to this the last 2 weeks, I had totally forgotten that he was their manager.
It was kind of forgettable because Alpha was their manager, and then Alpha's gone, and Samu is out for some reason. I want to say injury and then a contract dispute. So for this show, you get Fatu and the Tonga Kid, otherwise known as the Samoan Savage.
I got to love the Big Kahuna nickname, too. I mean, that just makes it all the better.
I mean, you know, you don't normally expect to see the legendary Mid-Atlantic manager Oliver Humperdinck doing a Captain Lou Albano cosplay. But there we have it.
And I remember him with Bam Bam Bigelow from the you know, late WWF 80. So I totally forgot about this.
Right. And he had been, I think he was Bam Bam's babyface manager at Starrcade 88. So.
Now, what I do miss coming up is I don't think it's right now. It might have been later with Teddy Long, but I got to tell you, I love Doom's theme song with the saxophones and everything. I was playing that in my head today getting ready for the show.
Yes, that was a great song, and it almost babyfaced them, I think.
Yeah, but I got to say, this was my tag team of WCW, the Michigan Clad Steiners. This was my favorite era of them.
Yep, and yes, they would be coming out to Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. But here they are. Have they changed gear as well? I'm trying to remember what they had on in the past two matches. And this, the ramp. Okay, this is like the 99 Nitro ramp, which is kind of difficult to walk down. And here we go.
Yeah, I had start. Okay, you won't see that anymore.
No, I don't think so. Oh, I think it might be a relative. Okay. I'm hoping it's a relative.
As I was telling you earlier, 89 was the first year I was fully watching WCW. I started watching with the Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair saga. And so I remember Bash 89, and I just fell in love with the Steiners watching them in that the Bash 89.
Oh, yeah, that was their big breakout match, I'm going to say. Okay, well, I'm guessing that has to be somebody known to Scott Steiner. You just don't. Okay, here we go. Here's another one. You don't just pluck random kids out of the crowd.
Getting
right?
to hold the belts at that age, that had to be a thrill.
Yes, I think so. All right, here we go. Samoans and Steiners. And, the Samoans off to a good start. They've got two matches to go. They can do it. I guess we're going to get some amateur styling here to lock up.
Oh, here we go.
And we had the Steiners and Head Shrinkers at WrestleMania 9 some years later.
Oh, that's right.
Not as memorable a match as one would hope, but some good moments. Okay.
Yeah, I like the Steiners when they came to WWF, but this 89, 90, 91 kind of range, I just, you know, this is what I grew up with. I didn't grow up with the Road Warriors in WCW. It to me, it was the Steiners. So I just love this period with them.
Yeah, the Steiners were, as a tag team, they were, more talented than the Road Warriors. The Road Warriors did what they did.
I mean, this is how I choose to remember Scott Steiner. I like Big Papa Pump, but when I think of him, this is what I think of.
Yes. Here we go. Okay, so we have Rochambeau for the To See Who Starts. And here we go. All right, and Jim Cornette gets out the line, well, the Samoans don't speak English, and I'm not sure about the Steiners. Yeah.
It's funny when the last couple episodes on this, and you had mentioned in your co-host about the Midnight Express, I thought the same thing, like reliving this again, that I understand the background, but just watching it was like, how are the Midnight Express not in this tournament?
Yeah, well, Yeah, because they weren't invited.
Yeah.
that's really the only reason. Yeah, Jim Herd didn't like Cornette, but within a month they'd bring back the Rock and Roll Express, and just to have somebody for I think it was mostly for the Midnights to have somebody to feud with. Here we go. Lock up. Okay. All right. Well, we're stalling for some reason. Here we go.
Oh, I see Bill After. Is that him in the red sweater down there?
Yes, that is.
Right.
The legendary Bill After.
I still have stacks of PWI magazines in our basement that I refuse to throw out.
Okay. Well, just make sure they don't get thrown out for you.
That is true.
Pro tip.
I do not let my wife near any of that stuff.
Right. Well. Okay, here we go. And she might not go near them voluntarily. So anyway, so.
That is true.
All right. Yes. Okay. Hello, Mrs. Saget. How are you? All right. All right. So the crowd's a little more amped here in the third hour.
It looks like.
Oh, he's got a braid.
Oh, looks like there's more of a fuller crowd. People finally got in the building.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anybody who's negotiated rush hour in Atlanta can certainly understand how that happened. Let's see. Oh, there we go.
That's very nice.
All right.
Is he still on a school board?
What's that?
Is he still on a school board? Isn't he a school board member right now, Rick Steiner?
I want to say I haven't heard about him leaving the school board.
Oh, looks like this will be a quick match. They're leaving.
Okay, well, they're out of here, folks.
All right, what's the next match?
Yeah, well, next up is Luger and Muta, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness, there's some angry people there. Yep. Yes. Oh, yes, poor Mike Adkins there. I like Mike Adkins better when he portrayed Snape in the Harry Potter movies. But.
Oh, yes. And I'm thinking, was that Doug Dillinger? Was that a young Doug Dillinger, or was that somebody else that was the head of security back then?
Well, I don't know about young, but I think that's Doug Dillinger, yeah.
Younger
Doug Dillinger.
Yes.
Okay. And we're back here. And all right. Yeah. Here we go. All right. There's the Hall of Famer Fatu. Oh, there we go. I mean, he looks kind of like Rikishi, but not exactly.
Yeah, parts of him look like Rikishi.
Well, yeah, that's true. He'd sort of grow into the role. Oh, boy. There's it.
I can see why this match took as long as it did. They've been outside for half the match already.
Yeah, I think we discussed earlier in the show, they left a lot of room at ringside, which I think is nice, especially if you're planning, and when I did indie shows, we always tried to leave some room at ringside because, fans being on top of the ring, that's not a good feeling. If somebody's going to be thrown out of the ring or something like that, you want to have some room.
Sure. No, that makes sense.
Especially with a big building like the Omni, there's more than enough space. Okay.
I guess at this point, as I'm seeing, I remember from the 89 bash, they were with Missy Hyatt. So I'm guessing, I don't recall, that didn't last very long.
No, Missy. Yeah, then they were there with her for the Clash, and yeah, I guess they drifted apart from Missy. They wanted to use Missy more as an announcer, and there's only it's kind of hard to do the babyface manager bit.
Sure.
Okay. All right, and Scott Steiner going. Oh, we're gonna do some more amateur wrestling. I guess the Samoans need to be fresh for later, because they still have to fight the Road Warriors.
Yeah, they really backloaded the Samoans matches here. As I'm looking at, I have a copy of the match order, and as you were talking about, they really backloaded their matches here.
But it does explain, you know, but I mean, it does create some suspense because the Samoans, you know, obviously have a shot. All they have to do is get through these next two matches. Okay. All right, so. And there's a crowd, but you can still see the occasional empty seat. All right, now maybe we'll get some offense going. Yes. Oh, nope. Oh, no. Yeah, that's how you liked your wrestling buildings in the late 80s in the early 90s if you were World Championship Wrestling. You liked them nice and big and dark.
Yeah, do you remember what the Omni held approximately?
I want to say about twice what they're holding now.
Okay. I'm seeing a lot of empty seats, obviously particularly up top.
Well, they drew what, 7,000? That was not their up top was not going too hot.
Yeah, I didn't remember this being on a Wednesday when you first mentioned that. That was, my thought was, why is this on a Wednesday? It's not even the day before Thanksgiving.
That was my thought in December of '89. Well, you know, you're doing a pay per view on a Wednesday. Well, I guess Survivor Series was still on Thanksgiving, so no, that's not it. It makes no sense. Okay. Up and over and out. Okay. Oh no.
We got the old lady yelling.
Okay. Omni Coliseum. The arena seated. Well, that's about right. 16,378 for basketball. So that's close enough, I think.
Only filled 6 or 7 for this. Wow.
Yep. Well, it's on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay. Well, actually, they set up me up. Okay, it was set up for 16,371 back in those days. Okay.
And I just wonder if the format. Well, and I was around 13 when this happened, and for some reason, I liked tournaments. I liked WrestleMania 4 back in the day, not so much now. But I wonder if the format and that it really didn't lead to anything also contributed to the low turnout.
I'm reasonably sure it does. By the way, the current arena, the State Farm Arena or the Phillips Arena, whatever you want to call it, in Atlanta, is built on the site of the Omni after they demolished it. So, same place. Oh, here we go. Nope. Yeah, this is, this is an okay match, but it's really nothing special.
No, I like the hard-hitting Steiner matches where they just bludgeon people. That's what I enjoyed.
Well, I mean, I didn't think the Samoans, you know, are good. You might want to be careful before you try to bludgeon the Samoans. For
sure. I think of the Steiner Doom matches, I remember.
Yeah. There we go. So, I mean, they're obviously okay. They're not working loose with each other or anything, but it doesn't look like they're going. It doesn't look like they're going great guns here. Okay, so Scott Steiner thrown out over the top rope, which is still a disqualification at this point, but the ref didn't see it. Oh well.
Was this the era when they still banned moves from the top rope as well, or was that?
No, that was Bill Watts. That was Bill Watts when he came in 92, and that was. You know, of the moves that he, of the changes he made, that was the one I felt most was, you know, it was the worst job of reading the room.
Yes.
And I know we've talked about that before. You know, you've got, you're just a couple months earlier, you had Pillman and Liger at Super Brawl 2, and people were going nuts for that. And you're taking away Pillman and Liger and their ability to do top rope moves. I don't know. Not to mention the Steiners can't go off the top rope, which is a chunk of their a chunk of their offense, not their finishers necessarily.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, that was not one of his better ideas. Yep.
All right, the bear hug. Yeah, I don't think Scott Steiner is. I don't think it's really a threat to put out Scott Steiner with a bear hug.
You don't see the bear hug much anymore, do you?
Definitely not as a finisher.
No.
There's a reason for that. You know, if nobody uses the bear hug as a finisher and you never end a match with a bear hug for several years, people aren't going to buy into the bear hug. Okay. That one lady, that one girl in the brown is really, really worked up over the Steiner brothers.
Yeah. She looks thrilled. I see who you're looking at.
Yeah.
She's in a front row seat.
She really wants some violence. No, the one in the back, not in the front row. She was the only one standing, I think.
Oh, okay. Yep. I was looking at one in the front row that looked like she was ready to fall asleep.
Well, yeah, there are a couple of those too. Like,
what time is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought these are only supposed to be 15-minute matches, right?
Yes. Oh, here we go again.
Back to the bear hug. Okay. Yeah, well, after Jim Ross puts over, hey, you know, these teams are going to be trying to finish each other off quickly because of the 15-minute time limit. You got, you got bear hugs and holds and.
I'm never a professional wrestler, but it doesn't look like he's got that hold in very tight anyway.
No, it doesn't. Oh, there we go. Oh, very nice.
Oh, nice. That was nice.
Okay, so we only got 2 minutes left of time limit. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Okay, so they go to a draw here. That would put, I put the Steiners at 40 and Samoans at 25. Hold on, ref. Hey, ref! Oh, jeez. And the Road Warriors at 20? Yeah, I want to say that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, Frankensteiner, there we go.
Oh, there we go. Oh, I loved when he did that.
Yep. That was special.
For his size and to be able to do that, that was just impressive.
And it was a big deal for WWF fans when they first saw him do it, even though that was years later.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no. Here we go. Oh, all right.
Even though I know the ending, I got to tell you, I'm still rooting for the Steiners here.
I believe it.
All these years later.
I mean, for a last minute addition, you know, the Samoans have been doing a darn good job. I mean, well, not, you know, not, not putting out. I mean,
last submission, even though all these years later, I'm surprised they had them do so much better than Doom. As Doom was an up-and-coming tag team at this point.
Doom was it was the storyline that there was trouble between women and Doom. So I guess they had already booked them to lose all their matches, to book all their matches, so they didn't want to change the booking because, you know.
So is this what partially led to Teddy Long taking over?
I think so, yes. Plus, I think they had other plans for women, like putting her with Ric Flair.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what... Oh, he threw him over the top rope?
Wow, the big kahuna would not lie.
Oh, no, the Samoans win by top over the top rope disqualification. Oh, so 10 points for the Samoans, 0 for the Steiners, and the Samoans are, well, we'll see the scoreboard in a minute. Steiners still have the lead. Yep. Oh, no. Well, they're not going to be happy with that decision.
I am not happy right now.
No, I'm sure you're not. Okay. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, back dropped him over.
I think he slipped, actually. That was inadvertent.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah, I didn't think back dropping him over the top rope was a disqualification, but.
I got to tell you, I saw this last week. Even though this is 1989, they couldn't have gotten a better scoreboard.
No, they couldn't have. All right, so here we go. Let's, speaking of bad breaks, Muta's 0-2. Luger is, what, one draw and one win. So Luger can, this is big for Luger.
And this was around the time, you know, I guess, I don't know, a lot of wrestling fans, you get to a certain point where you start rooting for the heels.
Yeah.
And you start liking them. I loved Muta.
Oh, yeah.
I was a huge fan of Muta. And even back then, I thought he would have made a great baby face.
Well, yeah. You and Jim Cornette and I think most of, you know, and a lot of people. But I can understand where Gary Hart or in Muta maybe don't have confidence in WCW pulling off a Japanese baby face. And there's limping Lex Luger.
I'll tell you, I tweeted with Jim in the past that this is one of my two favorite belts of all time, three favorite belts of all time, this particular U.S. title.
Yep, it's a fantastic look there.
That in the TV title, the late 80s TV title that I guess would have been around right now at this time. I love those two belts.
Okay, so Luger limping into the ring. You try to put together, when you have two heels together, you try to subtly make one of them the babyface for the match, and I think Luger's the babyface here. You know, he's going in injured, and Lex doesn't have a manager, Muta does. So, you would think that they're setting it up for you to believe that Lex has that Muta has the advantage. Okay. Okay. And here we go. But Lex, of course, still has the power advantage, I suppose.
I see they didn't repaint Muta's face.
No. Well, I mean, why would at this point Muta's like, why would I bother? Oh, don't forget to call the 900 line, where Lance Russell and Joe Pedicino will have the post game show.
I'll be calling that once we get off the line here.
Yeah, after you watch a 3-hour pay-per-view, you know. Yes. And it's nice of the WWE Network to let you know that it's no longer an active number.
Sadly, there probably would be someone that would try to call it.
Yes, there would. All right. Well, there's people, that lady in the front row still doesn't seem thrilled.
I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but I really thought even back in the day that I think it was Wild Thing 90, one of my favorite jingles of all time, that would have been a great time for Luger to beat Flair for the belt.
Yeah, well, you thought that, and I think Jim Herd thought that, but that wasn't going to happen, and Luger wasn't going to push for it.
Yeah, I thought even if he held it for a little bit and they still put it on Sting at the Bash, that it just would have made a great story.
Mm-hmm. It would have. They made Luger the guy who couldn't win the big one for so long, and when they finally set him up to win the big one, Jim Herd fired Ric Flair.
Yeah. Yes, and if I remember, that was what, Bash? Was that 91. Bash 91 where he fought Wyndham? That just didn't go anywhere.
A classic show on the in the Wayback Playback Archives on Patreon.
And I will put the plug in. I highly recommend it for anyone that is thinking about it. I've been listening since day one, but I still go back through Patreon and listen to some of my favorite episodes featuring the Black Scorpion.
Well, of course. I wouldn't expect you to listen to any other ones. And Michael did show me earlier, folks, he's got his Black Scorpion shirt on, so he's
all set.
All right, here we go. I got to make more T-shirts. Anyway, okay, Muta's working the leg, which is smart. Plus, Muta had, he had one match where he went a short period of time. But, he put some energy in against Sting, definitely.
Interesting, they have this with Luger go long, but the match you could have had with Flair, you know, between these two, went, what, about 2 minutes?
Yeah. Well, they, I mean, somebody, you know, when you do this, somebody, when you do this format, there's somebody who has to, you know, somebody's got to be the guy who loses these. And of the four, Muta was the one that they had the least, you know, they had the least four going forward. And, you know, yeah, that was a mistake, I think. And if you're going to, plus, you know, if you're going to have somebody lose all three matches, why don't you put in somebody who can afford to lose, you know, who can afford to lose all three matches?
At this point, was he, do you remember, was he TV champion or was, because I
remember
that.
Still that TV champion, yes.
Okay.
Muta's still the TV champion, and it would be another month before he loses it. And not long after that, he drops the TV title, he's gone. Oh, and by the way, the next pay per view, according to Jim Ross, is WrestleWar 90.
Oh, all come together to do the wild thing.
Is also, which is actually in our archives, for free.
And I will plug that I was the one that nominated that.
You were.
Like several times, and it finally won after like the third try.
I mean, you made your case. You made your case forcefully. So.
I voted 17 times.
Well, that's forceful. I didn't know they let you have all those Twitter accounts, but okay. Let me see here. All right. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of wear. Okay, a lot of wear down here. I don't know, you know, as much as I appreciate them sort of making Luger the babyface, I don't know that there's all that much sympathy for him here. Now, it works because... But the reason it works is because Luger ends up turning babyface like 6 weeks later. That's
the Big Show. Was he the Big Show of his time?
Yes, absolutely.
See, the thing is, as I started watching NWA WCW, you know, 88, 89, he was the good guy against Flair. So that's what I was used to. But it seems I still think of him more as a heel, though.
Yeah. That's true, and he liked being a heel better. So. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry, I just can't take my eyes off of the elderly people in the front row that just look like they're a church.
Yep. Well, stamp. You know, it's an experience there. Well, you know, this is the South. Wednesday night's a church night for a lot of people, so. Yeah, a lot of the fans are watching out of sheer interest because they don't like either person, and that's probably true. Oh well, that one girl in the blue there.
Oh yeah, is that popcorn or beer in her hand? I couldn't tell.
I don't know, why not both. Oh,
I think if I remember Gary Hart's book, he made the case of why he was against Muta turning heel. If I remember, babyface.
Yeah,
that he just didn't think it was going to work.
Well, I mean, this is WCW we're talking about, so again, I can understand where he's coming from. There we go. Let's see.
Oh. I guess in the grand scheme of things, he was not in WCW very long.
No, Gary Hart or Muta?
No, Muta.
No, he wasn't. That's true. But I mean, it was important for, you know, New Japan likes to give their heels or their young guys, you know, some overseas experience, and just having him lose like that with you know, not be protected, I think you know, it was very upsetting.
Well, there's some fans that are cheering for Muta.
Yeah, they are because, you know,
I did see the one elderly lady leave, and she put her jacket on her chair just so no one else would take it.
That's good. All right, the inverted Indian deathlock, as Terry Funk calls it. Yep. I mean, Terry Funk, you know, I can understand why they wanted Terry Funk as a commentator, because Terry's awfully good during these.
Yes.
It's just that Flair couldn't, you know. In the end, Flair couldn't resist going back to wrestling, and and didn't want to be an announcer. So.
Well, it wasn't too long ago he had the I Quit match, right? He's done as of right now, is he not?
November 89, yes.
We will never see him again.
Yeah, that's right. He's never going to wrestle again. Yep, that was his retirement. Okay, so we're down to the last 4 minutes of the match. Okay. And he's really working over Luger.
I gotta say, Luger did not get a lot of offense in this match.
No. All right, and Luger's tied for first here. So. Yeah, I mean, in a real tournament, there would be a real possibility that it ends in a tie, and I don't remember them having any tie-breaking procedures in place for this.
No, I don't remember that either.
Okay. Ah, yes, the deadly reverse karate kick. That's right. Okay, 3 minutes. Out. Okay. Here we go. All right. Both men are down. Kids on their feet.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there we go. A couple people clapping finally.
Right. If the older fans want to see Luger do it.
That's just, are they just all waiting for Flair to come back?
I guess. Well, I mean, Well, you've got Ric Flair versus Sting. I think that's, they know they're going to get that. I mean, the other fresh matchup, Flair versus Muta was a fresh matchup if you hadn't seen them in the arena, so.
That's kind of what I liked about this concept. The concept itself, not how it was executed, was the chance for matches like Steiners versus Road Warriors that you weren't going to see typically.
You know what? You could use this format to fill up a 3-hour Raw. Oof. They won't, but
no. And if they actually do, Lord knows who they're gonna have win.
Yeah, I don't want to even.
I think R-Truth will come out and win.
Hey, there you go. Yep. Hip lock takeover. Okay, come on, Lex. Hey, Lex's leg is magically better. Oh, there it is. Oh, he's limping. Never mind. So Lex decides not to go for the suicide dive here. Very nice.
Big E would be disappointed if he were watching this.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. Oh, hey. That wasn't very nice of Nick Patrick.
Under wrestling rules, if he's on the ropes, though, shouldn't that break something instead of the ref kicking him?
If he's on the ropes, then yeah, you count to five, right. Well, I mean, you would do it. The ref would count to five and then break it, I guess, or disqualify him. Here we go. He's going for the No, he can't go for the torture rack. Oh, Gary Hart's up on the apron. Oh no!
There we go. I was waiting for that.
But
amazingly, the ref will not notice or something.
No. They did notice.
Oh.
Disqualification.
There we go.
Yeah, that showed him. Okay, so Luger has the lead at 35 points. Oh, no. Congratulations, Lex.
Well, I guess he's done for the evening.
Yep, well, so's Muta. Well done, yes. Oh. Ouch. All right. Okay, it's anybody's game here.
Okay. I needed to see this again. Here we go.
Yes, that's what we needed. It's not official until they put this up here.
I think my kid put that together. I don't know. I think she did that the other day.
Ah, good for her. All right, here we go. Okay. Also, they'll be crowning the winners of the Iron Team Tournament. And it will either be, well, I don't know. Let's see here. Okay. There we go. Are there the Wild Samoans?
Oh, there we go.
They're wild?
See, and for me, watching this, I think in the Road Warriors growing up, sadly for me, it was WWF Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
I really need to go back and see, everything I've heard about the Road Warriors.
Oh, they were, yeah. I mean, they were killers. They weren't very, they weren't technically skilled starting out.
Yeah, like I haven't really watched them when they were in the AWA and even mid 80s, mid Atlantic, not too much.
Right. Here we go. Okay, so Cornette's explaining. Okay, so the Samoans have 30, the Road Warriors have 20, the Steiners have 35. Let's see. Okay, so. Right, so the, let's see here.
Okay. Time limit draw is what, 5 points?
It's 5 points for each, so the Samoans and the Steiners would be tied.
Okay. And if the Road Warriors got, a count-out victory, then they would be tied with the Steiners.
Right, okay. Then I guess it would be, the tiebreaker would be based on, Jim Cornette thinks they have to have a wrestle-off. If they,
I was going with rock, paper, scissor myself.
Wrestle-off sounds fine. Yeah. I think they should have an arm wrestling match, just to settle it. If they're tied. Yep. Nope. Oh, Animal's going to no-sell the pile driver this time. That's the twist. Yep. Okay. Let's strategize here. For all that went down in 89 between the Road Warriors and the Samoans, this doesn't really feel like a grudge match.
No, starting off very slow. Well, let's see the crowd's getting into it though.
Ouch. Here we go. Nice. Okay, so let's see here. Yeah. I mean, fine power match. I don't know that this is -1 star. I don't know that it's anything great.
No, I'm not expecting wrestling moves like in the Steiner match.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say just watching it right now that it's -1. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing great.
Well, I mean, I'll be patient, I'll give it time. Yeah.
If I'm looking at the time here, they don't have too much more time.
No, they don't.
Well, it's not... I don't want to spoil anything for the listeners.
Right. So, Road Warriors need a pinfall or submission win or... Okay. Anyway. Right. Okay. Okay. Over here.
Yeah, it just seems like this could have been more of a brawl or just a beatdown on both teams.
Yeah, I think both teams are tired. But you could have had a good chunk of wild brawling outside the ring, or the walk and brawl. Yeah. They're not really doing a lot of walk and brawl in the late 90s, in the late 80s, excuse me. Oh, well, leapfrog. Yeah, Jim Ross is selling it as fatigue, which is, it's actually what it is. So
yeah, that looks like fatigue right there.
That's fatigue right there.
I mean, I think I even saw Bill After yawn down there.
Well, he's fatigued too. He's been running around all night. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Wow, this is going to be a slow motion reaction from Hawk. I was wondering if Hawk was going to walk in. Yep.
I don't know. Hawk looks like he's ready to go home.
Yeah. In both senses. Oh, the biting. Okay. Oh, we're going to do the nerve hold. Yeah. Yeah, if you want a quick victory, nothing works like the nerve hold. Well, you know, for all that, the crowd's excited for the Road Warriors.
Yeah, this is much slower than I mean, it's been a while since I've seen this. This is right. Much slower than I remember. I guess I just don't assume a Road Warriors match is going to have something like this.
Yep. I mean, they are making the Samoans look good.
They are.
All right, and there we go, hot tag. All right. Oh, very nice. And nope. Okay, we're gonna head to a finish here at some point. Oh no, they've got animal double teamed. Oh. All right, that's a little activity.
I'm smelling a finish here.
Yeah. Oh no, that was a mess. Oh, there we go.
I think the ref has lost control here.
I think so. All right, there we go, and Hawk gets the win for his team.
There we go.
All right. Well, he hit the finish. That's the important thing.
So, do you think part of this was they wanted the Road Warriors to win because they were the Road Warriors, but still have the Steiners look good to elevate them? It kind of seemed like they were splitting it here.
Yeah, they were splitting it. Yeah. All right. I mean, but plus, you know, if they want to do something with the Steiners and Road Warriors down the line, they've set it up.
That would have been a great feud to watch.
Yeah, well, yeah, it would have.
I can see the Road Warriors heels again, and the Steiners as the baby faces.
They never did. I think I want to say 96. They did something like that with the Steiners and Road Warriors, but it's too late by then, you know. The Road Warriors aren't really the Road Warriors by then.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of feel like if you were trying to elevate the Steiners, yes, you did, but and we know this doesn't have any.
Right.
This doesn't go anywhere. This pay per view, but would it have made more sense for the Steiners to win this?
If it was something like, okay, the winners of the tournament get a title shot, you know, at the next pay per view. Perfect. Yeah. That's unless you're the champions. Yeah. But, I mean, I think that's fine. Here we go. Time for the final. Time for the championship. Time for the main event.
Sting. Sorry.
Sting. Sorry. Sting.
There we go. I got my maker's mark here. I'm ready.
Yep. All right. There's Terry Funk coming back on commentary.
I got to say, just seeing that Sting shirt, you guys have talked about this before. They had some horrible merchandise back then.
Yes, they did. I don't know what I don't know who the designer was, but.
This to me is Sting. I know you had Black Crow and everything, but
right.
This is Sting to me, my childhood.
Right. I mean, this is what he did for. He did this for a while. So. All right. And here we go. Ric Flair's back.
Oh, no robe?
Go wear the pink trunk. Yep, you know. Nope. He means business.
Yes. This is business here.
All right. The finals.
Do you think for him he just hated these 6 months or so being a face and just couldn't wait to get back to being a heel?
I think, yeah. I mean, I don't know how he felt about the 6 month. There were some great matches, but he was running out of heels to face.
Yeah, he did have some. I mean, he was the heel with Steamboat, but going from Steamboat to Funk, I mean, those were some great feuds there.
And then I guess he feuded with Muta for a while. I mean that's you know, that was the match. So
because the original idea, wasn't it, that he was going to lose to Sting at WrestleWar?
Yes, that was the original idea. That was part of the reason he's like, okay, I'll turn heel, I'll lose to Sting, you know, I'll be back. We'll be back doing the Horsemen. Yeah. And you know, and Sting, you know, and Sting's the Dusty Rhodes, and he's feuding with the Horsemen. Yeah. And it could have worked. But you know, again, Flair never, you know, he won the title from Flair. Flair never really got his comeback, his set of rematches. And he spent a while feuding with the Black Scorpion, which
was awesome.
Yes, but it was a variety of Black Scorpions.
Yes.
You never got the Sting versus Flair feud while Sting was champion.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's one of my things with the Black Scorpion, but geez, the way that ended was just so deflating. You're like, this is what the Black Scorpion thing was supposed to be.
Yeah, well, this is what happens when you start a storyline with no idea where it's going to end.
I mean, and it's sad that Sting's first reign, it kind of fell flat for me with the, I mean, I'm just thinking going into 90, you have the whole fake Sting thing with Barry Windham at Halloween Havoc. You have the Black Scorpion at Starrcade, and then didn't he lose it back to Flair like at a house show or something?
Yeah, at the Meadowlands, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, first, you know, and really it was kind of like, well, we didn't want to have him lose at Starrcade, but yeah, first chance they had. And they weren't, and then it's a year before Sting gets it back.
If I remember, was that Luger's last match before he went to the bodybuilding?
Yes, it was. And then so Sting gets the title back, but Flair's gone and Luger's gone.
And it would be some time before Vader came, correct?
Vader's there in 92, and they start business in 92.
Okay.
We'll have to do the Bash 92 sometime. It's not a huge priority, but we'll have to do it. All right, so here we go. This is a straight babyface match, and you know, and that works. It works because the fans are into both these guys. I mean, it's not ideal, but.
Well, as you know, it was just the luck of the draw that these two were last.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it could have been Luger and Muta at last. Of course not. All right, those two girls are very excited about Sting. Oh, and that girl's with the fellow in the red hat.
Well, I see Batman's back there too. We got Batman on, and
oh yeah, the cool Batman logo. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Michael Keaton Batman.
That's right. Michael Keaton Batman, surprisingly good.
If I saw, he's coming back, I believe, yeah, in some
I've
form.
I've heard that, Batman. Yes. Okay. Yep. Look at the height Sting was getting on those. I don't think he's, you know, if he does wrestle in AEW, I'm not expecting those.
No, I wouldn't either. It's amazing he's still possibly wrestling.
Well, I don't know that he's going to wrestle, but there is a possibility, I guess.
But I would imagine Flair would probably still wrestle if he could.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, Flair just wants to be on the road.
Was this right before his their proposed gladiator gimmick?
Spartacus, that was 91.
Spartacus, that's it.
91, yeah. Let's cut his hair, make him into Spartacus. Okay.
Yeah, the short hair did not work for him.
Okay. Yeah, he needs. Yeah, the long flowing hair works better for Ric Flair.
Yeah, 91 Flair, I was not a fan of. When the hair got cut and everything, just was not a fan. This is how I choose to remember him.
Oh, and all right, here we go. No. Ooh. Ooh. Yep. All right. Yeah, I mean, the problem with pretty much every Ric Flair, you know, heel turn after this is that the people wanted to cheer him.
Yeah. Especially when he would turn on Sting for the 50th time.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, to feel a lot of sympathy for Sting after,
I mean, spoiler alert for anyone listening, but.
Yeah. After he turns on him and turns on him and turns on him some more. Yep. There we go.
They did have good chemistry in the ring, though, I got to say.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, he could, Sting's one of those guys who seemed to pick up, right away on how to work with Flair.
Yes.
And at this point, they haven't done it in a while, so it makes this even more impressive, I think.
Had they done much since the 88?
No, I mean, they had the occasional matches against each other, but no, they hadn't had a long feud.
Yeah, I mean, that was another one that, I started watching more in 89, but as I was, I remember looking back at 88 and such, that they never really followed up on that 45-minute draw.
No, they didn't.
And they kind of shifted him to Luger, Flair to Luger.
I mean, you have to watch most of it on YouTube, but, in 89 WCW, it had some horrible storylines and skits, but the main stuff was pretty great.
Yeah, I liked 89. Like I said, starting with Steamboat and Flair, and Flair and Funk, and Flair and Sting against Muda and Funk and all of that. I liked 89. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
89 was a good year, and when Bill Watts came in, they did like a 2 week on WCW main event. They did like a 2 week recap of 89. I think the sort of Bill Watts presenting the idea, hey, this is what we're going to try to be like, which it was a good goal. I don't think they quite got there.
No, it was a good try.
And here we are. Well, this ups-a-daisy. Okay. Yep. Well, that was close. All right. Let's see. And, we haven't really talked about Ken and Tex Petcare of Bangor, Maine, but Ken of Ken and Tex Petcare does a tremendous job taking care of your animals. Ken is an expert. He's gone through a lot of training. He knows pet CPR, which I don't know. I don't think a lot of pets know CPR. Ken's...
If I was ever in Maine, I wouldn't trust my pets with anybody else but Ken and Tech.
That's right. So kenandtech.com, KENANDTEK.com. Also, Ken and Tech on Facebook and Instagram, if you want to, if you not only want to follow Ken, but you want lots of pictures of great dogs and cats and the other pets that Ken watches. Ken doesn't put you on a mailing list or anything like that. He's good people, folks. And I know he wanted to do more this past month, but he's taking care of that great dog Lady, and they've actually gone on vacation together, and
Oh, very nice.
This has been important to him. So go on the go on canontech.com, get his rates, get his list of services, and if you're planning to travel to Bangor, Maine, or if you're in the Bangor, Maine area, he's the best. Canontech.com, Ken and Tech's Pet Care. Okay, so Flair and Sting, they're moving. Yeah, here we go. They're moving towards the end of the match. And Sting, I mean, Flair looks fresh, and Sting is selling. I mean, when Jim Ross would go on and on about Flair's cardio back then, he wasn't kidding.
No, he wasn't. I remember the 60 man, not Iron Man, the 60 minute draw with not draw but with Steamboat.
Yeah.
The best 2 out of 3 falls.
Tremendous. And he did do some 60 minute draws with Steamboat around the around the horn on house shows. All right. Here we go. Up and out. Oh. And there's still a lot of footage from late 80s and early 90s, NWA, WCW that we haven't done yet. So. Oh, nope. We have hit a lot of the major shows, though.
I made sure you hit most of the ones from the 90s, 1990. Yeah. No reason in particular, but.
No reason. Most of them, yes. Oh, nope. No, sir.
He's hulking up here or something.
Yep, something like that. Well, he's from Venice Beach. Okay. Oh! All right. We're down to the last 5 minutes. And no.
Yes, Sting's reflexes were a bit slow there. Didn't see that one coming.
Yep, there you go. He's down and out. All right, so what's Flair going to do? So the PTA lady is back there cheering for Flair, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. No, Flair, no, don't do it.
They're all going to hit a Shoney's after this.
Right. Yeah, like Nick Patrick. No, Flair, don't do it. Well, actually, that would be a disqualification, so, yeah. I guess he has a point. Ooh. He's like, things like that hurts, but I'm still here.
He's just shaking. He's walking it off.
Yeah, walk it off. Rub some dirt on it. All right. And Jim Ross points out, if this match is a draw, Luger wins the, yeah. Luger wins, so obviously they don't want a draw.
I guess at least they calculated this, that, you know, there's 3 possible winners depending on what happens, so I guess there was at least some drama there.
Yeah.
Muda, I think, just grabbed a taxi and they were out.
Probably. Yeah, they're probably halfway to Buckhead. Oh, there we go.
Finger splash.
Up, Scorpion.
Oh, people are pointing.
Arn and Oli, I'm guessing. Nope. Flair makes it under the ropes.
Now, was this also supposed to be the debut of Tully?
Anything
happened?
No, they aren't actually debuted on TV. So, it was supposed to be Arn and Oli and Tully. Well, I mean, it would have been, you know, they would have added Sting and they would have Arn and Tully, and I guess Oli would be like a manager or something, which is what he ended up being anyway. Okay. Oh, so Flair's got him. And Jim Ross is we're desperately already doing the we're desperately short on time thing. Yep. Nope. All right. Yeah, He's sort of Sting's sort of hurt in a non-specific way, I guess.
See, some people got their jackets. They're hitting the. They want to get out before traffic goes.
Oh yeah, Wednesday night. Yeah.
I gotta get up for work the next morning.
That's true. Oh no.
All right. He's working on the left knee now. The right ankle.
Yeah. The right calf or something. I don't know.
I guess he's loosening him up.
Right. Up. Nope. Oh, Sting got nope. Yep. Nope. Oh no. Whew.
Yeah, thought he had him there. Thought it was over.
Yep. And Flair is still, Flair is still doing his offense and being, you know, being an aggressor without being a heel, which is tough to do. So this is what the people wanted.
Yeah, the fans definitely seem more into this match than the last couple we saw.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is probably this might be the top match they were waiting for, if they're there to see anything. Okay, here we are.
Yeah, I'm watching the audience. They keep looking over.
They're waiting.
Yeah, I don't know if they can see them up in the ramp or they're just expecting something.
Yeah, they were expecting something, I guess. Sting has pinned Ric Flair. Oh, man.
Spoiler alert. Flair lost to Sting twice that way in less than a year.
Yep. All right, and Sting gets the pyro. Yes. Road Warriors are probably feeling gypped right now.
I would be, yes.
There's Ole. Nice
pyro there.
Ole's in Sting's face. And there's Arn.
Yeah. Please, Sting, don't fall for it.
Yeah, come on. You, come here. Come here. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh. The four fingers and the hand raised. What do you think? Should Sting be a horseman?
And this is where they should just sucker punch him, and I would expect them just to beat down.
Meh. Gotta save something.
Yeah.
Gotta save something for the Clash.
I mean, I'll say at least they set up, you know, the next couple of months, you know, before Sting got injured. They were at least setting something up nicely.
They did a fine job of setting it up.
I mean, the tag team, I'm not quite sure what was supposed to happen there. But at least they set something up in the singles matches.
All right. Okay, back on the stage. All right, Gordon Sully is with the Road Warriors.
Oh, Gordon. Right.
Road Warriors are not the tag team champions, Gordon. The winners of the Iron Team tournament.
They just pulled them out of the back. I mean, they don't even get a trophy.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Yep. Right.
I mean, you hear what Hawk's saying here, and you think it's, you know, maybe setting up them and the Steiners for the titles.
You would think, yep.
But I'm thinking not too long after this, they moved right into the Steiners and Doom, if I remember.
Yeah, they did. We did the Steiners and Doom. Well, they went to actually the Steiners and the Andersons first.
Oh, that's true. At Wrestle War.
Yep. Which was, And then they decided around that time, you know, maybe Ole shouldn't be wrestling anymore.
I do got to watch some more, though, because I got to find out who Doom is. I cannot tell.
Oh, that's true. Oh, look at those names. Yep.
Oh, Craig Leathers. All right. Is Eric Bischoff? No, Eric Bischoff wouldn't have been around yet.
No, not yet. Nope, still with the AWA. Okay, so yeah, the Road Warriors, they're doing this over the Road Warriors interview.
So they get an interview, but Sting doesn't.
Why would you need to hear from Sting?
Yeah, it's like, okay, why would you do the tag team winners but not Sting?
Well, you know, I guess they're saving Sting for the 900 line in the postgame show.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me. I got to call that when we're done.
Okay, that was it. Yep. Sorry, folks, if you were expecting a postgame speech out of Sting, you're not going to get one. That's it. That's Starrcade 89, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Okay, so where did we go from here? Oh, yeah, so... yeah, Sting and Flair, 4.25 stars if you're Dave Meltzer, and A- if you're Wade Keller. It amounts to the same thing. All right, so what happened next? Well, Thursday was December 14th, 1989, and of course the WWF had three shows on a Thursday night. The A show was in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, where it was Jake Roberts beating Ted DiBiase by disqualification, and Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, beating the WWF champion Hulk Hogan by countout when Hulk got distracted and was chasing the genius around. Oh, Hulk. Not good. The B show on December 14th was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where it was the tag team champions Demolition defeating the Powers of Pain, Warlord and Barbarian, and the Intercontinental champion, the Ultimate Warrior, defeating Andre the Giant in what were some... not great matches, from what I heard. The C show was in Anaheim, California, where it was Roddy Piper beating Rick Rude, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan defeated the Macho King Randy Savage by disqualification. So yeah, it's a little bit stacked, a little bit more stacked than you get today. I don't know that WWE could really, I mean, they could do three house shows a night.
I was surprised. 89, they were still doing three shows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, let's see. You have Savage headlining one, and I guess the Warrior headlining one, and Hogan headlining one. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess Piper Rude wouldn't have been too bad.
If you had the C show with Piper and Rude and Savage and Duggan, that's a deal. All right. WCW, Thursday night. TV taping in beautiful Peoria, Illinois, in front of 3,500. The featured matches on that show, the team of Brian Pillman and Tom Zink defeat the Freebirds, and in the main event, it is the NWA World Champion Ric Flair defeats Bobby Eaton, and a match tape for television, not too shabby. The AWA had their TV taping in Rochester, Minnesota on December 16th. On their TV taping, it was, Paul Diamond and the Trooper defeated the AWA Tag Team Champions, the Destruction Crew. However, the decision was reversed after it was discovered that the challengers had pinned the wrong member of the Destruction Crew, so that feud must continue. And in the main event of the TV taping, the AWA champion Larry Zbyszko fought the Unknown Soldier to a double countout. The Unknown Soldier the next month would be unmasked as Mr. Saito. And that feud would get carried over to the Tokyo Dome for that show coming up there. All right, so that's 89, and guess what, Michael? It's time for us to figure out what we're going to do next, because we're in the month of January, and the people have to have a vote. Last time it was our man Scott Pressler who picked Starrcade 89, and that's who won. So if
I could just say, Pat, real quick, as I told you, my wife was the tie-breaking vote on this one, and she voted against my nomination.
Yes, I imagine that caused a little bit of tension.
Well, I made the mistake of telling her, to me, this was the beginning of the Black Scorpion Starrcade 89, and so she just voted on it and didn't wait to hear that I nominated No Holds Barred.
And obviously, No Holds Barred is still on the table, folks, and... I want to say in the month of May, we're going to have the 350th episode. So
okay.
And one of those things we can keep in mind. Yeah. we have to save something here for, you know, for all the continuing years we're going to be doing the show.
Absolutely.
All right. So do you have anything in mind, or do you want to?
I do. Okay. Being a veteran of listening to this, I knew this was something to pick today. So I do have something that's January themed as well. And
oh, cool.
Since if I recall, we can go back 15 years. It has to be at least 15 years old, correct?
Yes.
So I am going to nominate WWE New Year's Revolution 2006.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I don't believe you've done that one yet. And if I recall, that is the first Money in the Bank cash-in from Ed.
Well, now you've just spoiled it. But,
yeah. I'm sorry. You can delete that part.
Okay.
It has a Money in the Bank and has a nice, I believe, a, I don't know if it has a Hell in the Cell or Elimination Chamber,
yes.
Yes.
A well-known Elimination Chamber match. That was... Yeah, that was the plan, that I guess that they were going to do the Elimination Chamber there every year. But, you know, plans change.
So I will go with that one. I believe that was a January event at that time. I'm looking right now, January 8th of 2006.
That's about perfect then. All right. New Year's Revolution 06. And let's see if I can run that down here. Let's see. Okay, I'm gonna have to fill that in later. I'm just trying to get all this taken care of here. But yeah, New Year's Revolution 2006, a very big Elimination Chamber. I'm gonna try to pull up some of the other matches for that. Let's see here.
Seeing Ric Flair defeated Edge and
oh my goodness, well there
Triple
you go.
Triple H defeated Big Show. Given the ending. Triple H and Big Show.
And Ric Flair and Edge.
And of course, because of this time, you had a bra and panties match. You couldn't get away from that.
No, of course you have to have a bra and panties match. All right, well, by an amazing coincidence, and geez, the listener choice
uh-oh.
I had several to pick from. Yeah, is I forget who nominated it, but New Year's Revolution 2005.
We're splitting the vote here.
Yeah, we might. Oh, geez.
Actually, I think at one point I nominated that last year.
I think you might have. But yeah, there's a big Elimination Chamber match. It's Triple H and Randy Orton and Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit and Dave Bautista and anyway, you get the idea.
It's so those fine choices.
Yeah, and of course, and also for the women's title, it is Lita defending against Trish Stratus.
Very nice.
No bra and panties match, I don't think.
No.
Yep, but there you go. All right, so I guess it's my turn, and let's see here what we have. Oh yes, I thought about it long, and I thought about it for a long time. This is January, and I know New Year's Revolution is a big deal, but you know what else is a big deal in January? The Royal Rumble is a big deal.
Of course.
And so in January 2003, the Royal Rumble was in Boston, and you had a huge 30-man Rumble. With the winner going on to, I want to say, WrestleMania 19 to be in the main event. That should probably give you a hint of what's up there. And also on the show in the other big match, it is the WWE title on the line. Kurt Angle defends this against a fellow by the name of Chris Benoit. And, you know, we know how Chris Benoit turned out, but it's still a heck of a match. I can't avoid everything with Benoit on it. So.
No, and WrestleMania 19 was one of the better ones, if I remember.
Yes, also which we also covered in
yes.
Available on Patreon. And,
yeah, I got to say, Royal Rumble is my favorite WWE pay-per-view of the year, even over WrestleMania. I don't know why. I like probably the lead-up to the WrestleMania. I just like the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I like years, though, where there's, like, you know, instead of one obvious winner, there's, like, multiple
yes.
possibilities. Just, you know, just for my own entertainment value. But there you go, Royal Rumble 2003. All right, so what is next is, and boy, am I going to have to edit this out. What is next is the part where we get out the randomizer and go
love
through.
Love the randomizer.
Every... Yes, I do too. But
has the randomizer won?
The randomizer, yes, it has.
Okay.
But you remember when we got a primetime wrestling instead of.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was a randomizer choice?
That was definitely a randomizer choice. Yeah, we don't do that. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to get this up and ready to go. And I'd like to point out, again, we have thousands of possible choices on the wheel. Everything from SmackDown to Tuesday Night Titans, even TNA, if I remember correctly.
Hopefully not New Year's Revolution 2007.
Well, no, that would be 14 years.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true.
We don't do that. I'm just trying to get this darn thing to work properly, and I don't know. Well, forget it. Okay, let's try loading up the backup randomizer. Otherwise, this is going to be a long night. But yeah, we've had a few of those. We've had a few of the randomizer choices win over the years. I think one of them was. When we did the old school show from 88 from the L.A. Sports Arena.
I do remember that episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's back there, too. Hopefully, you know, a Rumble or a New Year's Revolution will take 3 weeks to cover, and hopefully we'll have Jim back by the end of that. Jim likes doing Royal Rumbles, folks. This is not a surprise to any of you who follow the show.
I mean, I was very honored to do this with you, but I think we are all will be excited when Jim returns.
Yep, we are doing our best just to keep things moving along, and as much as I like having you here, Jim is still the co-host of the show, so let's go ahead and let's get the wheel loaded up, and hopefully we can get it going here. Oh, here we go. All right, give the wheel a big spin, and off it goes. SmackDown, Nitro, World Class Championship Wrestling, WWF All-Star Wrestling, and we stop at... Oh, man, we stop at WCW Monday Nitro. Oh, that's something different. And the WCW Monday Nitro in question, September 27th, 1999, from the Phillips Arena in Atlanta. Oh, very nice. And you might not remember what's on that show because... It's WCW 1999, and really, nobody watched it, so.
Yeah, I cannot say that it rings a bell off the top of my head.
All right, so it was the long-awaited rematch between Bill Goldberg and Hugh Morris. You recall that Goldberg got his first win over Hugh Morris a couple of years previously. And the main event, a scheduled six-man tag, Sting, Lex Luger, and Diamond Dallas Page, against Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Bret Hart.
Wow, that's a combination there.
Yeah, that's something you don't see every day, folks.
No. So,
and yes, it's 1999, so it's a three-hour Nitro.
Okay.
Whatever we get is going to be 3 hours long.
Well, that's good. Yeah, the three other picks were WWF, WWE, so it's good to have WCW.
Nitro has a fighting chance.
Yes.
That's good. And I mean, I know September 99, you're talking about probably one of the worst periods for watching WCW.
I think by that point I stopped watching WCW.
But they did. They pulled out all the stops for their home arena. We got to give them that. Okay. So those are your choices. Let's see. If you can visit us on Twitter, I'm at RealPatMcNeil. Yeah, feel free to piss off Twitter and subscribe to my account because somehow they've managed to remove some followers from me, and I'd like them back, folks. So check and see if you're following me.
I am still there.
Yes, Michael is still there. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley, and you should definitely follow him if you're not. And give people your Twitter handle.
I am MimeQ. That is MimeQ.
Okay.
Yes, that's three names put together. That'll be for another day.
Yes, that's true. All right, and follow Michael and say hi to the whole family there. And of course, go ahead and leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to this show. And of course, if you'd like to know even more about Fatu, the Tonga Kid, Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, or Lex Luger, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or check out your local library app because they're all in books. Michael.
Well, first I want to say, Pat, it was a pleasure doing this. Thank you very much. It was an honor, and we will see you next time. Same way back time, Same playback channel.
Yep, and we hope that, in the words of the Counting Crows, we hope that this year will be better than last, and I have a feeling it will be, at least for this show. So until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, and next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.